If you have your Bible, I ask you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 this morning. Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8. Philippians chapter 1. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace in our lives. We think of those that are on our hearts today. And Father, we know and recognize that there are many need a special touch from you, need encouragement today. Lord, we all carry a burden, and we pray, Father, that you'd lift us up in that and give us your strength. I'd ask you to be with Brother Tom this morning as he is recovering this morning, and just pray, Father, you continue to give him strength. Be with Slick, Lord, as he has to endure and go to the doctors. And, Father, we pray you give him wisdom that they might be able to schedule this surgery and get this attention in his leg taken care of. Father, there are many. There are many things that we need to pray about this morning. We have those in our hearts and minds, and those who lost their job. Those are critical problems in the family, all kinds of issues. The world that we live in, the need for revival. We pray for our president, Congress, and Senate. We pray for our troops, their families. Pray for each other. Pray that your world might prosper. Father, with your will might be done. That, Father, we look to you, that you give us peace. We ask you to bless your word this morning as we endeavor to understand it, the word of God, the bread of life. Help us to nourish our spirit and our soul. Lord, if decisions need to be made even this morning, open, public decisions, whether it be first-time profession of faith in Christ, rededication of life, or just coming to this altar, it's your altar, Lord. Father, I pray that you'll work in every life. Let us go from this place and say it was good to be in your house with your people today. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. For your fellowship is in the gospel from this day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Philippians is one of my favorite books. I really love it. I love Philippians for many reasons, but not the least of which it is a letter that has great joy in it. I think that this is the Apostle Paul's great letter of joy. It seems clear to me that sometimes Paul is not in a lighthearted mood when he writes letters, especially when he has to correct some sort of serious error that's in the church, something like in Galatians. But Paul was on top of the mountain when he's writing this letter to the Philippians. The greatest thing to me about Philippians is it teaches us how to find joy in the midst of a grumpy world. You know, daily I'm saddened. I don't know about you. I was just heart saddened this week when we learned about those shootings over there in Ohio. And then there's Arizona. All these tornadoes the other day. These terrible pictures of just unbelievable destructions all over the place. And when you get a phone call from a good friend telling you that his wife has died, those kind of things they bring gloom into your life. They bring sadness. But we live in a beautiful world, but we also live in a world that tragedies occur. We know this. And it's the mystery of suffering. It's man's inhumanity to man. Why is there war? Why is there abortion? All these questions come to us. Tragedy strikes. Babies die. Children suffer. Marriages break up. People lie to you. People steal from you. The consequences of these things, of course, we know. That we live in a fallen world. But I believe we have a choice as to how we can respond to these things. Paul, in this particular instance in writing this letter to the Philippians, you know where he's at? He's in jail. He's in Rome. He's awaiting trial before Caesar. He's under a type of kind of a house arrest. He's guarded all the time. He's guarded by the Praetorian Guard, which was an elite group of Roman soldiers. Part of their attachment was to guard and watch over Caesar. But he was allowed to have visitors. He could preach. He could teach. He did so. He wrote, and he wrote this letter. He evangelized. Matter of fact, the Praetorian Guard who came and had to sit there and be there and watch Paul, those guys, one by one, came to know Christ. Well, when the Philippian church heard that Paul was in prison, they sent a guy to him, Epaphroditus, to Rome. They sent a little money to help Paul with his daily needs and those kind of things. But they sent Epaphroditus to encourage Paul, to lift him up. We're rooting for you. We know the circumstances you're in, and we're praying for you. While in Rome, Epaphroditus got sick. Matter of fact, the scripture says that he was so sick that he nearly died. But when he got better, Paul sent him back carrying this little letter to the Philippians. A thank you note. Paul uses joy and rejoicing in this letter 14 times. It's a little short letter, but he uses that many times. Well, number one, how do we have joy in a grumpy world? How do we do that? Well, let me point you to verse 3. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, this may sound extremely simplistic, but if you want to have joy, you have to have a thankful heart. You can't have joy without having a thankful heart. You have to be thankful. Paul said, I thank my God every time I remember you. Are there folks that you can think about that when they come to mind, it brings a blessing to your life? There's a sense of thanksgiving that brings joy. I hope there is. Like I said, my friend John Blackburn called me last week and he told me that his wife Tina had died. Well, that wasn't joyful. That wasn't fun. But as we sat there and we talked, we began to muse and we began to think. And the very first thing I thought about when John told me that Tina had died, I thought, praise God, she's free. Because, you see, she had to suffer in a physical body all her life that was racked with disease, muscular dystrophy. Her body was working against her all her life. Yet she was just a great inspiration. She was full of joy. She made an impact on everybody and on everything she touched. I know when we had her here, the kids loved her. I thought especially when John was telling me that when they called a new pastor a few years ago in their church there in Evansville, and the pastor was going around trying to assess people's gifts and all those kind of things. And he said that he went to this one particular Sunday school classroom, and here was this young girl, this real frail girl sitting there, and she had 9-year-old boys, and he thought to himself, this poor girl can't hardly walk. She has just a very quiet voice. And so he said he walked out of there and he thought to himself, well, we're going to have to do something about that. She can't handle these children. These are boys. They're going to be running up and down the hall. They're going to be tearing down the church and you name it and all those kind of things. He said, but I quickly learned, as I began to observe, that just the opposite was true. Her class was the most orderly class. There weren't anybody running up and down the hall. There weren't anybody going to the bathroom all the time, doing all those kind of things. All those kind of things that are just normal for children to do. Her class wasn't doing any of those things. Matter of fact, he said he noticed something. When she began to speak in that frail little voice, the kids would just draw up to her and listen. And he began to say to himself, wow. Was I ever wrong? She's not the weakest teacher we have. She's the strongest teacher we have. You see, she had a joy in her heart. I never saw her once. Have you ever missed because you're sick? Have you ever missed because of a family situation? Sure we have. All those kind of things. She never missed. She never missed. My wife reminded me as we were talking. She said, you know, here's Tina. Little sticks for legs, like walking on stilts. Hands that wouldn't work. Voice that wouldn't speak. Yet she was where she was supposed to be every time, all the time. With passion and joy. Talking about Jesus. And my wife said, what's wrong with us? We can walk. We can talk. I move my hands. I grasp. What's wrong with me? I don't have the peace that she had in her life. I don't have the joy she had in her life. I don't have the thanksgiving she had in her life. Listen, it may sound very rudimentary, but you can't have joy without thanksgiving. Paul goes on to say, in all my prayers, he said, I'm remembering you and I'm praying for you in all my prayers. You know, we had a service just a week or so ago, the give, laugh, praise service. Were you here? Was that good or not? Wasn't that good? Now, if you were to ask me, like the pastor going around evaluating people's spiritual gifts and classes, what I would have said that would happen that day in that evening service, I wouldn't have hit it at all. It was fantastic. God blessed in everything that we did. The songs, the testimonies, the readings, the scriptures, everything. Paul says, in the partnership of the gospel. You know, it's an amazing and wonderful thing, isn't it? To be able to be a part of the body of Christ with all kinds of folks with different and diverse interests and different diverse gifts, different diverse personalities. You know, there are some people who just have bubbly personalities. That's the way God made them. And then there are some people, they're just crabby Appletons. That's just the way it is. And they're all put together. And when they're functioning under the Spirit of God, it all works. It all works. It's beautiful. With thanksgiving. Well, thanksgiving. You have to have thanksgiving to have joy. Next, we need to have confidence. Let me read verse 6 to you again. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You know, this is one of the strongest, greatest verses in all the Word of God. Don't you think so? I believe in the perseverance of the saints. Because I believe what God starts, He finishes. I like that. No, it is God who takes the initiative, not us. He's the one who begins that good work. Salvation is always a gift from God. It's always God pursuing. It's always God coming to you. It's always God pricking your heart. It's always God maneuvering and getting you to the place where He can get you still enough to listen to Him and speak to Him. It's God who does that marvelous and wonderful work in you. You know, somebody was saying that they were ordaining a country preacher, and the ordination committee was talking to him about various and sundry things. And you know how these things go. They always ask doctrinal questions and things like that. Finally, somebody asked the preacher, well, what's your understanding of your salvation? And he said this, I did my part and God did his. And the guy said, what? He said, yeah. He said, I did my part. I ran and I ran and I ran. But God did his. He chased me down and caught me. God takes the initiative. God takes the personal responsibility for completing that work. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. His work in you. Nothing can block God's divine work in you. Somebody made a little sign that had these letters. P, B, P, G, I, F, W, M, Y. Please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. I had to write it down because I couldn't remember such a depth of that. Listen, if you find yourself in the muck and the mire and you find yourself looking up, don't give up. Look up. God's not finished. God's not finished. Having difficulties with this or with that, problems here, insurmountable objects, don't worry about it. God is not done with you yet. Stand up. Put on the whole armor of God and walk with the Lord. Well, thirdly. Lastly, not only does God start the process, he continues the process, but he guarantees the process and the outcome. One day, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, holy, blameless, and complete. What is lacking will be made full. What is less than enough will be more than adequate. What is broken will be fixed. What is hurt will be healed. What is weak will be made strong. God has promise it. Be confident. You see, we need to have a sense of thanksgiving about us. That lifts us up. That enables us to stand. That gives us a view to look. But we need to be confident, not in ourselves, but in the God who made us, created us, saved us, and set our feet on a path of purpose that he is going to work his perfect will in us. And when we do that, even in an old grumpy world like this, we can have joy. Be thankful, be confident. And then lastly, Paul says, be loving. Down there in verse 7 and 8, he says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, listen, I'm so glad you sent Epaphroditus up here. I'm so glad that you're thinking of me. I'm so glad that you're praying for me. I thank you for this monetary and support that you've been giving me. I understand all that. And my heart is overflowing with thankfulness and love for what you have done in Christ Jesus. You know, I think about, listen, God loves you. If nobody else loves you, God does. But I'm sure other people do. Sometimes we get to thinking, you know, we're about, you know, the drain, the sidewalk. You know, if you have to jump up to get up on top of it, that's how low you are. But listen, God is always, he's not a Weverly. He's always loving you. He always, you know, bitterness, anger, despair, greed, all these things are behaviors that do not lift up, they enslave. The writer of Hebrews tells us to watch out for that root of bitterness. Don't give it place. You know, garden it out, pull it out. Don't let that thing grow. Let love be disseminated among all the brethren. We have great examples of that from time to time. We have people who make sacrifices. We have people who do things. We have people who touch our lives in all kinds of ways. We have people that the world might think have nothing to give, who are so gracious in their love that they shoot right past all the standards that the world would know anything about. You know, I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of folks like that. I really have. I really have. And of course, you know, when you're reminded and confronted with your own mortality, sometimes you begin to think about those kind of things, and you begin to think about those folks who've gone on before. And you think about that, and you just praise the Lord for them. What they taught you, how they impacted your life, how this particular behavior helped you to understand this and then drew you that way in the Lord's will for you. Listen, your job is the same thing, to let the love of Christ flow through you that you might impact others as well. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs somebody to reach out their hand to them and say, come on, you can do it. If God can do it with me, He can do it with you. Come on, come on, come on. Let that love show in Christ Jesus. Listen, there is no lasting joy in sin. The devil always puts everything up front. He loads everything up front. Kind of like icing on a cake, you know. All the good stuff right there. And then you get in the cake and you go, pfft. You know. Every now and then the cake's good, but, you know. My wife, you know, I love German chocolate cake. And she makes me one every year. And, you know, I just can't wait. You know, she's doing all those layers and she's doing all that stuff. And it's hard work to make a real German chocolate cake. Most of you probably never even had a piece. Sorry. Oh, don't come to my house around Christmas time. No, 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 no. I'm not inviting you. When she takes that knife and she pushes that icing off there and it's running down the side because it's warm, I want to take the knife and go, I want a piece right now. There are folks like that can touch you. And these things are lasting. You can't lose. You can't lose. If you allow God to cultivate a thankful heart in you, if you have confidence in what God has done in Jesus for you, and you let the love of Jesus flow through you. This old world has some really terrible things happen. But you can have joy even then in Christ Jesus, who is Lord. Father God, we thank you that you're in charge, not we ourselves. We thank you, Father, that you're always at work. You have the long view. You know the end from the beginning. You walk with us all the way. Yes, you chastise when we need to be disciplined, to be put back on the right way. But we always know that this is for our own good. So we thank you. And we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you for all those that you have allowed to come into our lives and touch our lives, allowed to minister to us. And so, Lord, we want to reciprocate. Let us be that kind of joyful Christian who impacts for you. Father, this morning, if decisions need to be made openly and publicly, I pray they'll be done so to honor Jesus, because he's worthy of all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.